to One Eye Kings, chapter 7. One Eye Kings, chapter 7. I found a long time ago, if we go to God's house and leave in worse shape than we went, we should have stayed home to start with. And I remember an old professor in Bible college one time when I was a young brainless preacher with the rest of the fellows. I realized what he said to me, and I took it to heart. He said, sometime you'll be given the chance to preach in some great pastor's pulpit. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm sitting here a little nervous. And never did I ever dream that I'd stand in the presence of God's servant like your pastor at a congregation like you are. This didn't dawn upon me like that. And he said, remember, he is the shepherd, and he knows his sheep. I have been to meetings when the evangelist, and I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a missionary, I'm a pastor. I've got a pastor's heart. I know a pastor, and I know the burdens of a pastor. And I know many times when we're on the riverbank fishing or someplace else, he's on his face before God, begging to ask God for the direct leadership that he should lead his sheep. Don't you ever forget that. Don't forget that. Not long ago, I was at the church, and pastor, the church was in problems. And the young preacher was unloading, and I wanted to help him. He said, no. He said, the heaviest thing I got to get out of here is my golf clubs. I thought to myself, Buster, if you're going to get in my pulpit, you're here to help me and my church and not to give us no golf score. Shame it right there. By the way, you know what, golf, years ago when you see a man out on a green field beating the ground with a stick screaming, that was called witchcraft, now it's called golf. But anyway, I thought to myself, me and you both have to go to the hospital, have to come like that. And I remembered that, and he said, remember, he's the shepherd, you're just passing through. He said, remember, said he, just remember, the shepherd knows his sheep, and he'll take care of his sheep. He knows the one that has a hoof rot, the canker ear, the one that needs to be shared. And he said, take them all in your arms by faith and take them to Calvary. And by the grace of God over the years, I've tried to do just that. Somehow or another, push the shepherd and the sheep together. You see, I'll be leaving town shortly, but I'm glad, thank God, that I can stand with an old shepherd. I know a shepherd's heart. I know what his burdens are. I done been there. I done been down that road many, many, many times. And so in One Eye Kings, chapter 7, and verse 1, I'm going to leave something with you today. There's a song, I don't know when I've heard that song later. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Never will I forget that same old college professor said, he said, there are those that come to church just because and to pick up on the church news. Whether the good or bad, I've been down that road. I had a woman in our church. I thought what Bud Robinson said, and that old gal went to the altar and said, I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, it ain't but 30 feet wide. Get what you can on that. And I know what that is. I know what it is to be criticized. I know what it is to be left out in the cold. I know that. And that's why I said burdens are lifted at Calvary. He said those who never come back to church never mention the church unless a wedding or a death or they need something. Here's what he said. It stuck with the preacher all the way. He said, sitting in that congregation, you'll never know who's sitting on that pew. You'll never know what they went through to get to the house of God. He said, you will never understand or know the inside of that heart. Our little girl has got a song that she sang used to. If my heart was a window, you could look through. One morning, I always sit over here in our church. Our church went about this way, and I brought you a picture of it, Brother Ray. And I said, I had a song that knew what to do, when to do, and how to do. I never come up here until It was time when he'd say, here's our pastor. On this day, I'd studied, I'd prayed, and I had the message, I thought. And when he called me from down there up here, God somehow other miraculously moved in my soul. And I completely changed into another person. And I followed the leadership of God. There was 35 people that morning come to the altar and knelt. And afterward, weeping and hugging, they said, Pastor, we're so glad that you sensed that the Spirit of God let you realize the burden that we're carrying. And I said that time, I said, from here on out, I will follow God. He said, sitting there comes a dad that maybe walked the floor all night and prayed for a wayward boy. He said there might be in that congregation a mother that sat all night praying for a wayward daughter. He said, listen, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Take them to Calvary. Take them to Calvary. Let them see the cross. Let them hear the blood dripping. Let him hear it's all finished. Let him say that. And I said, by the grace of God, that's what I'll do. He said, in that crowd is a Sunday school teacher, a preacher was up way into the night praying for the class, and a preacher way in the night preparing them. He said, don't be carried away with those that didn't come seeking fellowship, leadership, seeking the will of God for their lives. Said he, take all them by faith and make your way to Calvary. So that's what I want to do for the next few minutes this morning. I want to take everyone here and make our way to Calvary. I looked at this here scripture here some time ago, and 1 Kings, I might have said 7, I meant 17, I didn't see it, little 1 there beside that. And he said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the habits of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee that. Done a little homework on the ravens one time to find out he's an unclean bird. He's more apt to pick your eyes out or take your food rather than to bring food to you. I find out he's an unclean bird. But here at God's command, somebody said he's stealing T-bone steaks off of Pharaoh's grill and taking them, feeding them God's man. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it'd make good preaching anyway. And then, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, everything going all right. I'm looking some of you in the eyeballs right now. There was a time you had the world with a tail and a downhill drag in a jug with a stopper in your hand, but all one phone call and one heartbeat changed the entire world that you was living in. I had a funeral just this past week. Some folk had to move away years ago when their children were small, and all that got married. Had fine people, good people, love God, love me, love the church. And he was out in the yard there, healthy as could be, and all of a sudden she heard him squeal as she looked, and he's on the ground, graveyard dead. Their entire world was completely turned around. And I thought as I looked at that, and I said, yeah, right to this point, everything is going good for him. Listen, my friend, you never know what the next phone call is going to be. You never know what the next announcement is going to be. And so, therefore, let me say I'm a human being just like you are, and I've been down that road before. I've had to sit and look a mother in the eye and tell her what's happened to the daughter. I've had to stand with a dad and put my arms around him and weep with him when I find out and tell him where his son is in jail. And one that I had to say, they're going to electrocute your son. And I realized I've suddenly watched the blood run from their face as they would nervously say, preacher, what in the world can we do? Well, what do you say in an hour like that? So everything going up good up to this point. Here it is. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I said, Elijah's brook dried up. If I today had each individual and could talk to you a few moments, I'd say, have you ever sit by the drying brook? I dare say that the majority of the people here would say, Preacher, I've had to stand right there. I've sit by the brook. I couldn't see my way. I couldn't hear my way. And preacher, I had to sit by that drying brook of hell. I entered in on my brook some years ago when vertigo came upon me. And so Elijah's brook dried up. And I said, wonder why the Lord allowed this to happen. I said, I believe it's to teach him to serve God and to listen to God and to trust God. You see, as long as we can see it, we can feel it, we can hear it. But my friend, when it comes down to the place that we need to trust God, just trust God. And I looked at that, I said, a very pleasant help in the time of trouble is our blessed Lord. I pastored one church, only church, almost 37 years. And many times, Pastor, I'd make my way there tonight. I'd go into that old altar. All the light was there with what was coming from the outside. And I'd kneel down and I'd say, God, you put me here. And Lord, you know what's going to happen. And since you put me here, I'm trusting you to care for me. And God somewhere would put his great big old arms around me and say, remember? I said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Felt like walking across hell on a rotten scorn stalk and daring the devil to grow up. Listen, my friend. Hey, me and God, you and God, we are in the majority. And I looked and I said, God's children are often called on to sit by the drying brook. Have you ever had, Pastor, somebody to come up and say, Pastor, why did it happen? You don't have the answer. We don't have the answer. Why God's children many times are called to sit by the dry brook. I preached a funeral this week. When I came to Columbia in 1960, he was 19 years old, strapping, healthy young fellow. They thought he'd had a touch of polio in his leg. But he come back to be that whatever it is, Mr. What is Suya or what is it, darling? MS. And as he grew, he married, and that kept coming upon and coming upon. And in a wheelchair, I'd watch him, Brother Ray, when he come up in our churchyard, he'd swing out the window, drop into a wheelchair, and one of the youngers had two younger push him in the church. And I'd watch, I said, my God, if I had me 50 or 75 people that determined to go to the house of God, I'd turn Columbia upside down, saving right there. The other day, he went as far as he could go, and I preached his funeral. I never preached a funeral exactly like that in my life. Where he talked to his family, where the family talked to him. Whenever they all said goodbye, he shut his eyes and he was gone. And I had no, I told them, I said, listen, God has been good to you and been good to him, and God's running right on time. Hey, wasn't the song, God's running right on time. He never, thank God he wasn't late at his birth. He wasn't late at the crucifixion. And he wasn't late at the resurrection. And he ain't going to be late, thank God, when he comes back here to receive his children. I'm glad he said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. I will come back. Ain't going to send for you. And so the drying brook I should have held, many of us here today are sitting by that brook. Tonight, my wife has to get an alphabet of what doctor I go to next. And she said to me, she said, unto God, I don't know what we're going to do about the doctors. I said, I don't know what they're going to do with me either. But anyway, I said, the drying brook of health. But then there comes some time, the best friend you'll ever have in your life will walk away. Years ago, I visited a man for 1 year. He's a businessman. Well, 1 year, I had 5 hospitals in town, and most time I had somebody in every one of them. But I had to go right by his office, and I visited him for 1 year. And one morning, sitting right there in the church, come to church in Mr. Time, and right there one morning, my wife reached him, touched him on the shoulder, said, don't you think it's time for you to go to the altar. He jumped up and came to the altar and wept a cup of tears on the altar. It was my friend. He'd take me to the store on Christmas and buy me a suit of clothes. He'd take me to the shoe store on my birthday and buy me a pair of shoes. And every time I turned around, he'd be there. What can I do to him? One day my wife, that's what bothered me right away. Sometimes they're smarter than they look. Bothers me. Said he'll turn his back on you one day. No, okay, forgot about it. But a few years, it happened. He walked out of my life, walked out of the church for no reason whatsoever. And so it took me a time, preacher, to get over it. Let me tell you something today. You got a pastor, and when he died, don't cremate him for God's sakes. And don't bury him. Have a taxidermist to do a job on him and build a glass cage and stand him in it right up here. They ain't no more like him. Keep him around. Love him. Do everything you can to help him. I realize it always in a congregation, someone with a bellyache and a chronic and all that. I know that. I realize that. Somebody said, they said, what difference does it make with you what church you go to? You don't go half the time. No way. Remember, my friend, your church. Remember your pastor. And I looked at that, and I said, the drying brook of friendship. But then I said, God's children must learn to take one step at a time. The greatest problems I ever had in pastoring with people was people that ran ahead of God. The psalmist said, wait upon the Lord. Just wait upon the Lord. I'm glad, thank God. A little boy a few years ago wanted to get married. I knew it wasn't going to work. I just knew it wasn't going to work. I knew it wasn't going to work. I tried for 6 months to talk him out of it. And he said, no. I said, all right, I'll go. So I went ahead. They'd both be saved. 6 months later, he called me and said, preacher, I need to talk to you. I said, what's wrong now? He said, I'm having wife trouble. I said, I told you 6 months ago it wouldn't work. He said, you didn't tell me long enough. I said, dear God. And so I looked at that, and I said, God, children must learn to take a step at a time. Psalm said 23, steps are ordered by the Lord. I said, one day at a time, give us this day our daily bread. As I looked at that, I said, not only that, God's children must learn to trust God all the way. Sometimes we can go far the way, but we come to trust Him all the way, to put our tithes in, when we know what we're going to have enough to pay our grocery bill and on. To trust Him all the way. Oh, God, help me. Lay down at night. Hey, my last words to my Lord at night, Lord, you said you'd watch over me while I slumber sleep. And ain't no use me and you both shutting up. I'm going to bed. Hey, to know, thank God, that He's watching over you and caring for you as you slumber and as you sleep. And I said, God's children must learn the value of the hidden life. Elijah said, go down and hide. Hide yourself. And I looked at Moses John on the backside of the desert. Then I looked at Paul in Arabia. Then I looked at John on the Isle of Patmos. Then I looked at John the Baptist in the wilderness. And then Jesus alone on the mountain. And I said, thank God. You know, some of the greatest times I've ever had with the Lord is when I said, when I'd slip into church and kneel on that altar with no one around but me and just talk to Him. Make love to Him. Jesus, I love you. I could have been in hell now. I run the highway 25 to a little Wareshoal in Greenwood many times. And I drive into the yard. The back in those lamp burning days, the old lamp be sitting on a little table in my room, black on one side. And I knew my mother had put it there hours earlier. So I'd know that she was, but then I'd ease in. I think everything's all right now. But all of a sudden, that old door squeaked. My mama had a word uneasy, and she sticks it, boy, was uneasy about you tonight. Are you all right? I'm glad, thank God. when I'm down in the valley, when the sun don't seem to shine, when the dark clouds are hanging heavy, I'm glad, thank God, that he'll whisper in our ear and say, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll go with you all the way, thank God, to the end. And I looked at that a little closer, and I said, God's children must learn to take orders. Elijah took orders to Zarephath. Moses in order in Egypt. And Jonah took orders to go to Nineveh. And Paul ordered to go to the Gentile. God's children must learn that Elijah's God is still alive. I can't what Bohama, Obama, and the rest of the crowd said about it, but I'm glad, thank God, that our God is running right on time. You listen? All you and I need to do is follow him. I might have told you this before. Hadn't been saved but 3 months. Sunday school tube in Canada to Mr. Wren's home. His wife is sick, rheumatism. There was no arthritis in rheumatism. And and I never will forget. He come to me at church. He said, son, you're running well. He said, now then, he said, Jesus has got you in his arm. But he said, one day going to set you down. And it ain't going to be feeling, it ain't going to be sight. You got to walk by faith. I thought to myself, oh, man, you know what you're talking about. I'm so far ahead of the devil. He'll never which way I went. You already ahead of it 1 year. I got a let down by the Sunday school secretary in the church where we were members. He let all the wind out of my sail. He told me, so when that hour comes, don't you turn around. Don't dare to turn around. Stand and wait for him to come along. If you'd be honest with me today, many of us today have made moves when we did not wait upon God. I looked at that and I said, the God that supplies every need, the God that answers prayer, and the God that gives victory over everything. Our problem is just waiting. Just wait upon the Lord. He'll be along after a while. And I looked at that and I said, God's children must learn to take heed and ask God for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. To know what to do, to know to obey God, and know to follow him, knowing that this life is going to soon be over. And all of us have not made the plan is going to miss heaven. But I'm glad as I looked at that, and I said, Elijah's history begun somewhat abruptly. He just dropped out without a father or a mother. But I'm glad, thank God, when the brook dried up, God never let him go. God stayed with him and walked with him all the way. So therefore, I don't know what all I got now. I don't have the itch. I don't have the whooping cough, but I got everything else. And the doctor go to hear me. He said, which end do I start on? I said, pick it out. I've got something wrong all over. Just go ahead. And I don't know how much longer. I have no idea how much longer that God's going to let me run. I don't. I told my pastor, I said, listen, if I'm not here, I'll be somewhere that some good preachers let me sing and preach. But when I wear out, if I got the time left, I'll come back and sit down and grin at you while you fight the devil. I'll pray for you while you. So I don't know how much time I got, but I know one thing. Thank God, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive will be caught up forever to be with him. And that's enough to make a Presbyterian kick the back out of his choir robe. I like that. Thank God that he'll never, never leave and never, never forsake. And so as I think I use this here when I was here the last time, I'll use it again. Somebody told Billy Kenneth, said, I've heard you preach that message before. He said, yeah, I've heard you sing Amazing Grace a lot of times too. And so I thought about that. But then I said, come to the piano. Where did our little pianist go? Come on up here. Not the big one. They just left. The others up here. Come on up here. I remember, and I think I told you this, as we're passing through, and I thought we're passing through, if we just don't forget, this world's not our home. Don't forget that. That song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This world ain't our home. Don't drive your stakes too deep. This world is not our home. And so I think I'm going to play something softly, child. A lot of them coming home, something like that. I told you, let me tell you again, it thrills my soul every time I think of it. I thought about World War One when the war was over. And they finally got word to crowd of soldiers way back yonder, didn't have a public address system like they had way back yonder. They got word to it and said there'd be a truck to pick you up after a while. And this old soldier done been wounded, hadn't had anything eaten a day or so, unshaven, unbathed. And he said, I couldn't imagine how I could ride an old cattle truck 50 or 100 miles. But then he said, it dawned upon me, I'm on my way home. Hey, when that doctor looks me in the eye and looks down my throat, pulls my ear open, look in, it's running through my mind. I don't know what he's going to tell me, but whatever it is wrong. I'm just on my way home. Hey, listen. And then he said, the truck picked us up. I said, how in the world can I ever stay at that old train depot for days? But then he said, I realize I'm on my way home. And now then when I have to go to the doctor with I don't know how many problems, and he tells me all the ins and outs, then I look toward heaven and I say, I'm just on my way home. I'm on my way home. And I look, and then after a while, he said they took us down and put us on the ship and bouncing around. I said, how can I stand to be bouncing around that old ship for maybe weeks? But he said, then it dawned on me, I'm on my way home. Listen, child of God, I don't know your heart, don't know your problem, but whatever it is, remember, we're just on our way home. We're just passing through. We're on our way home. And I lay down at night, and I look and listen to what the doctor said. About I have to go to some cooker, a pressure cooker. I have to get in twice a week for a itch to come up on me from CLL that I had. But then when I get in that thing, got about 100 lights in it, and they fasten me up in there. I'm standing there as naked as a jaybird in whistling time. All I got on is my pajamas and my shorts, all I got on. And put a big pair of glasses on it. And my wife standing out there laughing. I said, shut up. And I prop up in there, and they fasten them gates and say, all right, Reverend, we're going 4 minutes and 20 seconds now. And, Lord, they flip that switch, and here we go. And while I'm in there sitting on that stool, and the devil say, that's what Christian is. And I say, devil, you get out there with my wife. I'm just on my way home. And after a while, he said, after bouncing in that old ship in that water, there come a deep fog that settled down. Said some of them young soldiers back said, hey, we see the harbor lights. He said, I looked and all I could see was fog. They said, look above the fog line. Look above the fog line. Hey, wherever you're at today, in troubles and trials, look above them, thank God. The lights are home and on, and the welcome mats out, and the voices said, come home. Child of God, we're just on our way home. And he said, then, finally, he looked, and after a short time, they docked. Let the gangplank down. He said, I walked off. I looked up at the Statue of Liberty. When I did, I knelt down and kissed the ground and said, thank God, I'm home. If you ever read my obituary in the paper, say, thank God, he made it home. So when you pray for me. I got a mother, a dad, two sisters and a brother. The only sister I've got, that one of she now had developed a cancer. But regardless of what comes our way, if you're saved, we're on our way home. Brother Ray, you'll take the invitation, get your song leader. While you stand to your feet, you go up there, Brother Ray. Now the altar's open. And the most comfort you'll ever find is when you bow yourself on an old altar. Brother Ray, you got on the altar, thank God. burden you lifted at Calvary. Bow down by faith at the foot of the cross upon the altar. And I promise you, you'll live a different person than when you came in on the altar. Let me kneel right here. Yes, thank you here.
Right, sing, Brother Tim. While we're singing, the invitation is given. Why don't you come, find your place, and bow. Talk to God. God challenged your heart. God challenged your life. You need God to help you. What a good time to come. Sing, brother.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming.
God help you. You need to come. You need to let God help you. Good time to come. God speaking to your heart. God dealing with your life. Just come on. Let God do for you what He wants to do.
With bitter tears, Lord.